Father, we're so thankful tonight to be in your presence. So thankful for the many things that you bless us with from day to day and from time to time. Father, we're thankful for each and every one of these people that's in your presence tonight, Lord. We thank you for your presence that has already manifested here, Lord. Father, we thank you tonight that each and every person here has ears to hear what the Spirit would say to them. I thank you, Father, that we follow nothing but you, Lord, your sweet Spirit. Be with each and every one here tonight. I thank you that you give them the desires of their hearts, Lord.
Thank you.
Teach us, Lord, by your Spirit. This is your service tonight, Father. Any direction that you want to go, we will be obedient. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And all the people say,
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've got a couple of prayer requests, and I was going to do it at the end of the service, but just like Gerald says, I'm not Lord here. Would you come on up? Hallelujah. Coming up here for benefit of the tape is kind of a problem. We've got a small living room and a lot of people. Hallelujah. Just kind of face me. I heard the Lord say while Gerald was praying a word for you and the situation you told me about. And the word is, when a person's ways please the Lord, he makes even their enemies be at peace with them. Hallelujah. Now you can expect that. Expect that. Expect the Lord, the Comforter, to not only be working in your heart and give you counsel and wisdom, but he even makes your enemies be at peace with you. Can you receive that? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. It'll be just that way, too, and no other. I thank you for it, Father, for your Spirit. Already, even now, ahead of time, you're the God that answers before we call. Even now, you're preparing the hearts for this situation. Lord, we expect nothing but a good report. We thank you for peace that passes all understanding. That you yourself make her enemies be at peace with her, Lord. That you call all things to work together for good, according to your purpose. And that's the way it'll be and no other. We bind you, devil, right now in Jesus' name. You'll have no part to play in this whatsoever. But only the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit and only the peace of God will be manifested in this situation. That's the way it'll be, and it won't be any other way either. In Jesus' name, thank you for it. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can give us the good report next week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was going to pray at the end. I can't help it if he says do it this way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, she's standing in proxy for a friend of hers, and you're going to be seeing her how soon?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. But I also heard the Lord say, while Gerald was praying, that you're going to be a vessel on this trip, a container for the healing anointing of the Lord. And it's going to go into you right now when we pray, and everybody's going to join their faith. This friend of hers is planning her and her husband to be missionaries to Peru. The enemy's attacked her body to the point she can eat nothing but mashed potatoes right now. Mm-hmm. Well, we know who that is.
Yeah.
Okay, so that we're going to stop that in Jesus' name right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to pray, and the Lord is going to put some kind of an anointing, a healing anointing in you. Now, you be sure and pray for her and lay hands on her when you get there. Okay? You're a vessel for His glory.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
First of all, what's her first name?
Elaine.
First off, we speak to Elaine's body. Whatever the root cause of this is, we curse you right now in the name of Jesus, command you to die. You work of hell, we tell you now in Jesus' name, die, get out of her body completely. We strike it at the root. Anything that's in her body not planted of our Father is rooted out now. Now, Father, I thank you that as I lay my hands on our sister, and everyone extends their faith this way, that the collective one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, and we have many here tonight. The actual healing anointing of the Lord is going to be transmitted on the inside of you. You carry that with you, and you pray. You tell her what happened. Tell her what we did. And you pray for her. And the healing anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to go into her body. And any damage that this thing has done is going to be corrected by His anointing. Father, I thank You in obedience to Your Word and obedience to Your Spirit. Transmit that anointing into her right now, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank You. I thank You for it. Fill her up, Lord, with Your anointing. Her spirit shall be a vessel for the anointing of the Lord. And she'll carry it to her friend, Elaine. And when she prays for her, just like Your Word says, You confirm Your Word with signs following, and Elaine shall recover. This work of hell will be stopped, and what You've called them to do as missionaries shall be accomplished. And she'll be full of strength and full of health in Jesus' name, and many souls shall be in heaven because of it. We thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I think she's getting it. What do y'all think? Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. We got to have a bigger house. We got to have falling down room. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. We thank You for our new house, Lord.
Yeah.
Does anyone have pain in their body tonight? Well, glory to God. How often do you see that at church? Hallelujah. That's the way it's supposed to be. A hand, Angie? Oh, you're just praising the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody's no pain. That's great. That's great. Hallelujah. All right. I guess we're ready to begin then. Got to do it the Lord's way, you know. Now, again, y'all know whenever I teach, it's not the messenger. Remember the donkey, you know? Angie came up last night after the service and said, "Good donkey work, Daddy." Or no, she said, "Good work, donkey man."
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if y'all, any of you that wasn't there, get that tape. I don't even have one myself yet. But the title of it should be something like Breaking the Spirit of Mammon.
Yeah. Amen.
Take two and pass them on. Take the top two and pass them on. I hope I made enough. I made 41. I better keep me a set. We'll start some down this center here. And then we'll start some around that side. Hallelujah. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could teach y'all what the Lord was taught me this morning. How many of you have got to hear the tape from several weeks ago called The Unjust Judge?
Yeah.
Do y'all know that the Lord taught me that 3 years ago? 3 years I've been waiting to teach that. That's one of my personal favorites. Yeah. Of all the messages I've ever got to teach. And, hey, come on in. Well, the things He said to me this morning, I'll just tell you this, Andy, you were sure led by the Spirit when you were singing that part about more love, more love. Because the one thing for sure that the Lord wants to do tonight is minister His love to you all. He sure wants to minister His love to you. We have a mother with a baby. We're going to have to make some room here somehow. Okay, here's one for you right over here, Shannon. Hallelujah. And if there's any extra handouts as people come in, give one to her, please. And we need to get one over here for Shannon. Can you kind of be the door monitor if anybody else comes in? Just give them to Trish there. Hallelujah. Okay, what are we doing here on Thursday nights?
Boot camp.
Boot camp. Everyone say, "Sir, yes, sir."
Yes. Sir, yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Sound off.
Sound off. Here we go. Now, tonight, the title of the lesson, as you can see, is called Overcoming Fear. Do y'all think that's important for any army?
Yes,
sir, yes, sir. Hallelujah. We'll just start off here with the lesson. One thing is certain. An army will never be successful if it lives in fear that it will be abandoned by its own general. An army must not only be fearless in the face of its enemy, but it must have supreme confidence in its commander-in-chief. Christians are continually exhorted or encouraged to resist the devil, to hold fast to their confession, and when they've done all to stand therefore, just like Ephesians said, against all the wiles of the devil. Now get this sentence. Yet when it comes right down to it, most Christians are still more convinced of their enemies' hatred for them than they are of God's love for them. What I see over and over and over again, most of the time, is not that the devil overcame anybody. Hardly ever. Usually what happens, after they stand for a while, the devil's able to convince them that God does not love them enough to come through for them. Somehow you fail God, somehow you just haven't pleased Him, and He's not going to come through for you. Well, if you doubt, you know, our men in World War II, when they were over there fighting the Germans, it's pretty hard. I mean, it's bad enough. My dad was in World War II. He can tell you stories and make your hair stand right up on your neck, you know. Some of the things, the Vietnam War is the same way. You get over there, it's bad enough. You're in the middle of the battle. You're fighting. Your enemy is out to kill you. Everyone say, kill you.
Kill.
He's not kidding. You know, he's serious. And neither's the devil. Jesus said that He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's not playing around, see. So it's bad enough. You're going to have to, you know, overcome him and lose your fear of the devil. But then, so many times, what normally causes the defeat is, you know, what if our men in World War II would have thought, they're going to get us over here right in the middle of the battle, and then they're just going to abandon us here, and we're going to be on our own. Now, if you be honest, how many of you ever felt like that? I have. Especially when I was learning, when I didn't know him very well, you know. Why do y'all... That message I taught last night, when the Lord told me to do what we're doing now, and I didn't do it for 10 months, when He told me to go full time with no apparent means of support financially, why do you think I didn't do it? I didn't know Him very well. I mean, if you'd have asked me, if you'd have asked me the day before, Gary, do you love Jesus? I would have said, yes, I love Jesus. If you'd have asked me, will you do anything Jesus wants you to do? Well, yes, I'll do anything Jesus wants me to do. I mean, I probably would have been bold like Peter. Lord, I'll die with you. You know? I'll die with you. I probably would have said that. Then the very next day when He comes and He says, I want you to quit your job and I want you to go full time to work for me with no means of support whatsoever. Why didn't I do it, you guys?
Fear.
Fear of the enemy. Fear of being abandoned. Fear of being abandoned. I did not know the Lord very well. I had visions that we'd get out there and Sue and I'd be sleeping under a bridge. We'd have to walk back and forth to church with the holes in our shoes. You know, we'd be on the hill that we have over there picking wild berries. You know, there's some wild blackberries up there. I mean, I'm serious. I'd go tonight and I'd go to sleep at night and I'd have dreams about that very kind of thing. Fear. That's why I didn't do it for 10 months. Fear. Not so much fear of the enemy. Fear that I'd be abandoned. Fear that my own general could not be trusted. Now, see, what I'm doing right now, I am confessing my faults one to another, that we can all be healed. Okay? Because you must come to know your commander-in-chief to where at least you have no fear that he is going to abandon you. And again, I can testify to it. It'll be 2.5 years next month in June. Has He ever been faithful? He has provided for us better than I ever provided for us in all my 30 years of working in the workplace. Got us completely out of debt, and it's doing... We're spending more on the gospel now every month than I used to make.
Hallelujah.
I mean, isn't that something? Not, you know, counting the giving and counting the things that we buy for this ministry, the cassettes and the mailing and all of that, we're spending more now than I used to make. That's God, you know. He is faithful, see, but I did not know Him well enough, and fear is what kept me defeated for 10 months. All right, let's pick it back up here. I'll read that one sentence again. Yet when it comes right down to it, most Christians are still more convinced of their enemy's hatred for them than they are of God's love for them. The result is that fear not only assaults them from the front by the enemy's threats, but they are also attacked by fear from behind because they have not yet matured in their confidence and assurance of God's love for them. How can an army win if it not only fears the enemy's attacks, but also fears attacks or abandonment by its own commander? There's no hope of an army winning in that situation, is there? We've got to overcome that kind of fear. Okay? Now, I hope right now, you guys are well trained, believe it or not. Most of you, if I was to say to you, God tells me He's going to send you to Bigsby and win the whole city. Now she'd go, not me. You know, or so she'd go, not me. Now I could tell Ellie that. She'd go right out and get him, you know. See, but Ellie's been trained a little longer than Donna. Ellie knows, she's known the Lord longer than Donna. See, when it comes right down to it, the only thing that keeps us from doing that kind of... See, Donna thinks, well, I don't really know enough yet. Donna already knows enough to change nations.
That's right.
So do you. Do you all know Jesus is Lord?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know Jesus is a healer?
Yeah.
Do you know Jesus is a provider?
Yeah.
Do you know most of the world does not know that right there? And His Word says that if you'll go and proclaim that Word, He will work you with you, confirming that Word with signs following. Now, why don't we do it? Fear. Fear. Just fear. And you could put it several ways. It may not only be fear that He will abandon you. You may think that you're not worthy.
Maybe be something we're afraid of. He'd tell us what we don't want to do.
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too. All right, let's pick it up here again. What is the secret? Now, everyone say this with me. Say, I'm glad I came tonight. Because when this is over,
I will know the secret
to overcoming all fear.
All fear.
Hallelujah.
Say this. Say, I've had the last day. That I'll live in fear. The rest of my life. I'll never have a fear day again. And you won't either. You won't. If you put this into practice, what we're going to do tonight, you've already had your last day of fear.
Hey.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I'm glad I came myself. Hallelujah. This, what is the secret to overcoming all fear? It's 1 John 4:18. Now, I give it here in the King James first. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, this verse is even more clear in the Living Bible, so I've got it on there for you too. Again, 1 John 4:18 from the Living Bible. This is so plain. We need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what He might do to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what He might do to us, and shows that we are not fully convinced that He really loves us. Isn't that plain? Now let me just say this with me. Say, God
is not
my problem.
He
never has been.
He
is not now.
He
will never be my problem.
God is my answer.
God loves me. See, I can't wait to get to the confession page. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's really what it is. Again, using my own self, I'll be my own bad guy tonight. That's why I didn't obey Him for 10 months. It's just plain and simple. I did not know He loved me enough to put me in a position like that and then absolutely care for me, provide for my house, provide for my family. The only difference is He paid my car off for me.
Hallelujah.
No, you didn't hear me. He paid my car off for me. Hallelujah. He paid off all of our Visa bills and all of our debts and got us completely out of debt.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And now my days, all day, every day, I can just serve Him.
Yes. Hallelujah.
He is absolutely faithful.
Amen.
To be trusted. The whole key is to, again, whatever... Now, as I always say, don't imitate me. See? Your whole job is whatever He says to you,
do it.
Trish, were there any more of those copies? Okay, hallelujah. Good job. Hallelujah. Well, How many of y'all want to appoint Trish official door monitor from now? Hallelujah. She's doing a good job. Glory. Hallelujah. Now see, in bold letters there, you must believe that God loves you. Once and for all, you're going to have to get it straight. God does not love you based on your performance. See, if that's the case, we're all in trouble. Again, I hate to keep popping your bubble every week. I am not perfect. I know that's a shock to many of you. No, that's really not. God, you know, again, Sue and I are so outstandingly ordinary. You know? If He requires perfectness in order to use you, He's not going to be using very many people. You know, heaven's going to be a lonely place. I'm telling you now. He does not love you based on your performance. He loves you because He loves you. He just is love, that's all. See, in the beginning when God created Adam and Eve, this is a little bit of what He was talking to me about this morning. In the beginning when He created Adam and Eve, why? Why, for God's sake? Think of all the trouble mankind has caused God. You know? Why create Adam and Eve in the first place? You think God wasn't capable of running the world by Himself? He didn't have to create Adam and Eve. But see, God is love. Love, by definition, has to have an object to bestow its love on. Otherwise, love hurts. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Love hurts. I mean, He's got all this love. He just is love. He says, I have to have somebody to love. And that's why He created them. By the way, I'll go ahead and tell you this. I just can't stand it. This was too good this morning. Do you know really why God said about Adam, it's not good that the man should be alone?
Amen.
Because it wasn't good for God to be alone.
Good.
Now see, in the beginning there was the triune God. He's always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, and those three are different but one. Our mind has trouble with that, but that's what the Bible teaches. They're all three separate. They're all three God. There's only one God in three parts, okay? Our mind goes, okay. You know. But see, love only bestowed on yourself is not love. God had fellowship, the Father had fellowship with the Son. The Son had fellowship with the Father. They both had fellowship with the Holy Spirit. They had that kind of fellowship. But it was still all one. It's still God. God had no object for His love. So He created man. First, and before He even created him, He prepared the heavens and the earth. He made the garden. He put everything in it that His man would ever need. And then He made man and put him in there, and they had sweet fellowship together. But God was watching the man. See, what we don't understand, God enjoyed His relationship with Adam before the fall. That's why He created Adam, was to love him and enjoy that fellowship, and they could just have sweet times together. God so liked that. But He got to notice in man. Now, man had fellowship with God, but how many of you know it's difficult for you to give stuff to God? You know, I mean, you can talk with Him, but how many of you can give God anything? You know what I'm saying? Other than your fellowship. And He thought, well, man had the same problem that God had. He had no object to bestow His love on. So God says, it's not good. I know what that feels like. We're going to create a woman for Adam to bestow His love on. The object of His love. Because God wanted Adam to have the same joy that he had with his fellowship with man. So God creates the woman. Now we have fellowship. But now think about this. What about Eve now? She has her husband. See, but Adam had the privilege and the joy of providing for Eve, but who does Eve have to provide for? So guess what God comes up with now? Children. Children. We're going to have children, so they'll have objects to love. There'll be an object to their love that they can provide for and care for and nurture and just and love, you know. Can you see what God's doing? That's the way He intended for this whole thing to be. And when we think about how most marriages are, between husband and wife, Sure, far cry from what God intended. Far cry.
That's what God intended.
Woe man.
Get about out.
Say what?
I said, that's why God said, woe man. Then about out, I'm going to get you.
Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyway, that was free. That's previews of coming attractions. He was talking to me about that this morning. There's four pages of that. I mean, I don't, you know, another night. Hallelujah. We must believe, every individual, each one of us, you, yourself. If you're going to be successful in this warfare, if you're going to be successful in this life, someday you're going to have to throw up your hands, give up trying to please God by your performance, and just accept the fact God loves you. One of the best things you could do is spend a couple of hours every day for a while just going around saying, God, I don't understand how you could do it. Nobody else loves me. It doesn't seem like. Don't confess that. That's a bad confession.
He said, be still and know that I am God.
That's right. And that He loves you. Amen. That's right. But just say, Father, I just receive your love. Not based on my performance. You just love me because you love me. Until it starts seeping into your bones that He actually, honestly, and truly loves you. It's not based on your performance. It's based on His love. He just is love. That's all. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Hallelujah. You must believe it, though, see? Because if you don't believe, I mean, again, it comes down to nuts and bolts. Again, using myself, the only reason I did not obey Him for 10 months when He told me what to do, I did not really have that deep a revelation of His love. I should have known there's no way He would abandon me. Let's see now. Logically, if I'd have just worked it out. Gerald, can you believe I couldn't work this out, though? In 10 months, I couldn't work this out. God calls me to do a work for Him, and He's going to let me starve to do it. Now, see, I couldn't even work that out. You talk about the human carnal mind is messed up, you know. But I just couldn't figure out how He would do it, you know. And for 10 months, I refused to obey Him. Finally set out obeying Him. Now, the devil made it look like it wasn't going to work for a while. That's the faith and patience part. But we persevered anyway. And sure enough, just like He said, He has not left us nor forsaken us. Okay, we've got that point down. Where was we here? You must believe that God loves you. 1 John 4, verses 15 and 16 say this. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. Let me ask each one of you. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
Would you be willing to confess that?
Yes.
Let's do it right now. Say, I believe,
that Jesus
is the Son of God.
God.
Now, based on that verse, say this. Say, God lives in me.
God lives in me.
And I live in God.
And I live in God.
Isn't that a statement? Mm-hmm. Now, look at this. The verse continues and it says, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, the Bible says. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Now, as y'all know, the Apostle John wrote that by the Holy Spirit. But notice how he phrased it. Quote, known and believed. You see that? We have known and believed. Not just known. Known and believed. See, you must not only have the knowledge of Christ's love for you, you must also believe it. You must also believe it. Jesus wants to develop a heart union with you, not just a head knowledge relationship. I don't know whether y'all figured this out yet or not. There's a heart thing going on between me and Sue. See? There's a heart thing going on between us. I know in my head she loves me, but I know in my heart even stronger than that. That she loves me. I'm going to confess for her since she's busy. I trust she believes the same thing about me. We got a heart thing going on. See, and most people at this point, I use myself again. When he came to me in that truck, I could have preached to you then that Jesus loves me. I had head knowledge of that. But when it came right down to it, my heart union with him was not developed to the point that I would trust him, even to the same point I would trust Sue. But see, I've been living with Sue. It'll be 22 years this year that we've been married.
Hallelujah.
I know Sue much better than I knew her 22 years ago.
Amen.
Now the problem is, see, we don't actually spend time with Jesus on a daily basis to develop that same kind of heart union with him that we develop with our husband and wives, or even our friends. To be honest with you, now just to be perfectly honest with you, my friend Bob Palmer, I hate to even say this, but it's the truth. At that moment, I probably would have trusted the word of Bob more than I trusted Jesus to take care of me. I knew Bob wouldn't lie to me. If Bob would have told me, Gary, drive down to my house at such and such a time and I'm going to change the brakes on your car, I would drive down there at such and such a time. Why? I wouldn't wait 10 months to drive down there because I know Bob can be trusted. If he tells me he's going to do something, I know he will do something. I've known Bob since junior high school. I know Bob. There's a heart thing going on between me and Bob, too, see? Isn't it sad that my trust in Bob? Nowhere in the Bible does it say, trust ye in Bob. You know? But the sad truth of it was, my trust in Bob was really stronger at that point. My trust in Gerald would have been stronger at that point. Gerald sent me out all the time. You know, he says, one time he sent me with an illegal load to Texas. And bless his heart, he bought all the permits that he possibly could buy. This was a massive well service rig that was being shipped overseas. And it was 110 foot long, if I remembered right, 14 foot 2 inches tall, over width, I don't remember exactly. I mean, that thing was illegal in every direction. And you went through 22 gears in the thing, and when you got through all 22 of them, he's going 40 miles an hour. Now, he bought every, you know, Gerald does everything he can to run legal. Okay? He does. He bought every permit, everything he could possibly do. He called Texas and got a special routing for me and everything. But still, doing the best he could with what's available, the load was still illegal. And so I said, well, Gerald, what do I do if I get caught? He says, call me from whatever jail they put you in. We'll get you out. Now, here's the thing. I didn't wait 10 months to leave with that truck. Why? I trusted that if they put me in jail, he'd get me out. But when the Lord came to me in that, told me to go full time, I did not have that same confidence in him. Isn't that sad? Say, Gary, you're a mess. Well, I was. I'm probably still more messed up than you all know. But isn't that sad? Our trust in another man. But now, how did I develop that kind of trust with Gerald? See, there was a day when I met Gerald for the first time. I didn't know if he was a liar or a thief. I didn't know anything about Gerald. I got to know Gerald over a period of years. I knew he could be trusted. Guess what? We spend time with Jesus. We spend time in the Word. We spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. And you start developing a heart union with him. Spirit to spirit, not head to head anymore.
Amen.
See? Spirit to spirit. That's what the praying in the Holy Ghost is all about. Relationship. You get to know Jesus. That if you wind up in jail, bless God, he'll get you out. No. If you get in financial trouble, he'll send some money to your house. If the devil attacks you with sickness, he'll be your healer.
Amen.
But you got to get to know him, see?
And to Malachi 1:2, it says, I have loved you. And what's written in the Old Testament is echoed in the New Testament.
That's right. And he still loves us, doesn't he?
Amen.
Absolutely, he loves us. Hallelujah. That verse again, 1 John 4:15-16. Well, let's see, I already did that. God is love. See, you have to know it and believe it. You must not only have the knowledge of Christ's love for you, You must also believe it. Jesus wants to develop a heart union with you, not just a head knowledge relationship. Now get this. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 says that Christ, the Anointed One, by the way, that's what the word Christ means, Christ, the Anointed One, may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, notice by faith. Y'all notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Say this after me. Say, Christ dwells in my heart by faith.
Christ dwells in my heart by faith.
Not by feelings.
Not by feelings.
The Word says He does.
The Word says He does.
That's all I need.
That's all I need.
I believe it.
I believe it.
He does.
He does.
It's by faith.
By faith.
Because the Word says so.
The Word says so.
Feelings have got nothing to do with it.
Feelings have got nothing to do with it.
Christ, the Anointed One.
Christ, the Anointed One.
Lives in my heart.
Lives in my heart.
By faith.
By faith.
That means.
That means.
God says He does.
God says He does.
I believe it.
I believe it.
And He does.
And He does.
We got that straight?
Amen. You got it straight.
Quick little faith lesson there, see, but that's what it means when it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. But we're always wanting to base everything on feelings. Well, it sure doesn't feel like the Anointed One dwells in my heart. Where does it say anything about feelings there? It says by faith. I didn't feel nothing here when I was praying for them a while ago. I did it because that's what He said to do. If He says, pray for her and I'll put my anointing in her and she'll be a vessel, bless God, that's just what He'll do. The Lord is not a man that He should lie. Okay? And He dwells in my heart by faith, I'm telling you.
Without faith, He can't please Him.
Cannot please Him without it. That's right.
Amen.
Now, the reason He wants you to come to that understanding is that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know, and I put for yourself, the love of Christ. That means how much He loves you. Which passeth knowledge. See, He's talking about something beyond head knowledge. He wants a heart union between you and Him, not just head knowledge. You got that?
Amen.
See? Why? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now say this after me. Say, I am filled
with
God the Father.
God the Father.
God the Son.
God the Son.
God the Holy Ghost.
God the Holy Ghost.
Hold up your hand like this. Say, my hand is wall to wall.
Is wall to wall.
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Son.
Son.
And God the Father.
And God the Father.
When I lay my hands on the sick.
When I lay my hands on the sick.
He lays His hands on them.
He lays His hands on them.
No wonder they get healed.
No wonder they get healed.
And that's the truth. Do y'all know that's what the Bible teaches?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Look at that. Look at your hand again. You know little children are, little babies, when they first discover their hands?
Yeah.
You know, they just, what is this, you know? Everyone look at your hand like that for a minute. My hand on the inside is wall to wall God. Wall to wall God. That's what it says. And that will become effectual for you. When that whole verse applies, which is rooted and grounded in love. See, when you start understanding, it'll come to you one of these days, why wouldn't He do that in me? He loves me. He loves that sick person. Jesus already died to bear the sickness away. He's still anointed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now He dwells in my heart by faith. Well, of course, when I lay my hands on the sick, they recover. Because when I lay my hands on them, He lays His hands on them. Glory to God. That's almost running ground, Andy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. In one sense of the word, the promised land that we are to possess is the love of Christ. Now think about this. Look at how Paul phrased that, see? Now remember that the word Christ means the Anointed One and His anointing. Now notice how Paul described the love of Christ as being a huge thing.
Right.
It has breadth. It has length. It has depth. And it has height. I mean, it's almost like, I can almost see like mapping out the promised land here. It has length. And it has breadth. And there's mountains. and there's rivers. There's depth and height to this, right? Now think about this. Most Christians have possessed enough of His love. Now, if they're Christians, truly born again, well, then they've possessed enough of His love to believe that He will save them from hell. Everyone say, thank God for that.
Thank God for that.
See, and thank God they have possessed that much of His love, but there is more. Some Christians have gone on to possess enough of His love to believe that He will use His anointing on their behalf to heal their bodies. Right? Well, thank God. But there is more. Then some Christians have gone on to possess enough of His love to believe that He will use His anointing to prosper them financially. Well, thank God for that. But there's still more. On and on I could go describing things to be possessed because of the love of Christ. Things like peace, things like joy, righteousness, patience, temperance, all of these wonderful things.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And they're all available for the possessing, aren't they?
Amen.
See? They're all in Him, right? Thank you, sir. Notice, but see, I could go on all night, because look at Ephesians 3:8. Paul says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know what he's saying? The more you discover about how much Christ loves you, the more you're going to see still to be possessed. Do y'all understand? For eternity, we're still going to be learning more and possessing more of what Christ has done for us. You're never going to come to the end of it. Patrick, you're never going to explore the entire width and length and depth and height of Christ's love for you.
We'd be like Him.
See? And here we are. Here I was in the truck for 10 months, not even thinking He would pay my bills. I mean, that's the truth. That's just the bold-faced truth. I didn't think He loved me enough to pay my bills. You know? And here it says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. How many of y'all think Paul prayed more than I have at this point? Paul knew some things that I'm still learning. A lot of things that I'm still learning. I love it when Pastor Dave says, what did Paul know? I mean, he just dictates the book of Romans from a prison cell and somebody writes it out, and it takes us our whole lifetimes to figure out what he wrote. You know? What did the man know? See? But see, Paul is the one that says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. That's how he found out this stuff. Hallelujah. You will never come to the end of Christ's love for you. The more of it that you know and believe and possess, the more of His love you will still see in front of you for eternity. Not only that, but you must know that God the Father loves you as much as Jesus loves you. John 3:16. Whose idea was this whole salvation business?
Jesus.
Well, it's God the Father, actually. See, look, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that means you, that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, see, so God there is the Father. You could say, for the Father so loved the world, that means you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, and again, that means you, believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So whose idea was this in the first place? It's the Father's. He's the one that loved you so much that He asked His only begotten Son to come do for you what He did. Now, I love you guys. I really do. I don't think I'm yet to the place where I love you enough to ask my daughter Angie to die for you. Let Patrick go to hell, Angie. Don't die for him. You see what I'm saying? That kind of love still yet is not in me. If I keep praying, the day will come maybe when... Well, that kind of love is just not in me. But, you know, I mean, at this point, I love my daughter more than I love other people. But see, God so loved us that He sent His only begotten Son so that... I mean, He paid a terrible price
for us.
And the whole reason being so that we could be restored back to God. Remember that original deal in the garden? Why did he make man? Mm-hmm. He wanted an object on which to bestow his love. And without man being restored back to fellowship with him, there was no way he could do it. So that's why he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. Hallelujah. But it was his idea from the beginning.
Yeah.
Knowing and believing the love that God has for you is how you overcome all fear. And I couldn't resist it. I put some of these on here. Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, see, that's the kind of attitude that soldiers have got to have. When you're going into battle, you have got to know. I mean, especially since we're going, the battle we go into, it's His anointing we're dependent on, isn't it? How many of y'all think you've got some anointing of your own? We'll cast that flaky devil out of you. You have an anointing, all right, but it's because Christ dwells in you.
Amen.
See? It's Christ in you, your hope of glory. It's greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. So you've got to depend on the anointing of Christ on the inside of you. You've got to be able to rely on that. How else could you go into battle and expect to win? You couldn't. Okay? All right, go ahead and turn to your confession page. And I could have gone on. We could have 9 pages. I mean, the Bible is so full of these kinds of scriptures. But I'm telling you, if you're ever going to really walk in peace, you're really going to walk in victory to where the devil is afraid when you get up in the morning, you're going to have to come to the revelation that God loves you. For no other reason than the fact that He loves you. That's why He sent Jesus to get you back.
That's and have the joy unspeakable and
full of glory. That's right.
The joy the devil don't like.
Oh, he hates it. The devil hates it when you praise God. The devil, he doesn't even understand that. Especially when your circumstances are bad. He cannot understand that. And you go praising God anyway, he leaves because he thinks you're crazy.
When the Spirit of heaviness comes upon us, exchange him into the garments of praise.
Hallelujah. That's right. Okay, y'all ready?
Ready. Yes, sir.
I say that Jesus is the Son of God.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
God lives in me.
God lives in me.
I live in God.
I live in God.
I know that God loves me.
I know that God loves me.
I believe that God loves me.
I believe that God loves me.
God is love.
God is love.
I live a life of love.
I live a life of love.
I live in God.
I live in God.
God lives in me.
God lives in me.
God loves me perfectly.
God loves me perfectly.
I am not afraid.
I am not afraid.
That He will do something bad to me.
That He will do something bad to me.
And I didn't put it, but I'm going to say it. God is not my problem.
God is not my problem.
God is my answer.
God is my answer.
I am convinced.
I am convinced
that God really does love me.
That God really does love me.
He loves me too much.
He loves me too much.
To leave me like I am.
To leave me like I am.
Everyone say thank God for that.
Thank God for that.
His love is perfect.
His love is perfect.
And He is perfecting me.
And He is perfecting me.
I trust Him completely.
I trust Him completely.
I love Him.
I love Him.
Because He first loved me.
Because He first loved me.
The Lord is my light.
The Lord is my light.
And my salvation.
And my salvation.
Whom shall I fear?
Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the strength of my life.
The Lord is the strength of my life.
Of whom shall I be afraid?
Of whom shall I be afraid?
I don't fear the devil.
I don't fear the devil.
I don't fear man.
I don't fear man.
I have no fear.
I have no fear.
I am bold as a lion.
I am bold as a lion.
God is for me.
God is for me.
Who can be against me and win?
Who can be against me and win?
Nobody.
Nobody.
I said nobody.
I said nobody.
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 I always win.
I always win.
God has already given me his best.
God has already given me his best.
He gave me Jesus.
He gave me Jesus.
He will also give me.
He will also give me.
Everything else.
Everything else.
That I need.
That I need.
I do not fear lack.
I do not fear lack.
I have abundance.
I have abundance.
I have come to Jesus.
I have come to Jesus.
He will never cast me out.
He will never cast me out.
He will never leave me.
He will never leave me.
He will never forsake me.
He will never forsake me.
I have complete confidence in him.
I have complete confidence in him.
Jesus is my provider.
Jesus is my provider.
I never worry about having enough.
I never worry about having enough.
In fact, I don't worry about anything.
I don't worry about anything.
I always have plenty.
I always have plenty.
I believe that Christ lives in me.
I believe that Christ lives in me.
I am rooted and grounded in love.
I am rooted and grounded in love.
I understand and possess.
I understand and possess.
The love of Christ.
The love of Christ.
I know for myself.
I know for myself.
That the Anointed One loves me.
That the Anointed One loves me.
I am full of the love of God.
I am full of the love of God.
God lives in me.
God lives in me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now see, that's the truth. You say, but Brother Gary, when my refrigerator's empty and there's nothing in my cupboards and my kids are hungry, and the gas gauge on my car is on the big E. Brother Gary, does God love me then? Yes, he loves you then. Well, what am I supposed to do when I'm standing in front of the empty cupboards and the empty refrigerator and the empty gas on my car? What am I supposed to do, Brother Gary? I say that Jesus is the Son of God. God lives in me and I live in God. You start worshiping him, you put the word in your mouth, and you praise him, it doesn't make a bit of difference.
Amen.
This whole thing works by faith. Remember that lesson we had on faith? Did he say, I will never leave you? Hello. Did he say, I'll never leave you?
Yes.
Did he say, I'll never forsake you?
Yes.
Is he a man that he could lie?
No.
Then will he leave you?
No.
Will he forsake you?
No.
Well, don't wait 10 months to find that out. Don't wait 10 months. Whatever he says to you, now do it. I do recommend you wait until you hear him say something to you. Okay. Like I told him last night, I didn't choose this life for myself. See? If he hadn't said what he said, I'd still be driving the truck.
Okay.
Well, you know what Gerald says, though? He always says, I made him 10 months behind on everything else, okay? Because I delayed it 10 months. But anyway, that's not true. The Lord redeems the time.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. I believe every word of it. That's a preacher in the making. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's go through this again. I know it's warm tonight. So.
Oh,
excuse me. I say that Jesus is the Son of God.
I say that Jesus is the Son of God.
God lives in me.
God lives in me.
I live in God.
I live in God.
I know that God loves me.
I know that God loves me.
I believe that God loves me.
I believe that God loves me.
God is love.
God is love.
I live a life of love.
I live a life of love.
I live in God.
I live in God.
God lives in me.
God lives in me.
God loves me perfectly.
God loves me perfectly.
I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid.
That he'll do something bad to me.
That he'll do something bad to me.
I am convinced.
I am convinced.
That God really does love me.
That God really does love me.
He loves me too much.
He loves me too much.
To leave me like I am.
To leave me like I am.
His love is perfect.
His love is perfect.
He is perfecting me.
He is perfecting me.
I trust him completely.
I trust him completely.
I love him.
I love him.
Because he first loved me.
Because he first loved me.
The Lord is my light.
The Lord is my light.
And my salvation.
And my salvation.
Whom shall I fear?
Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the strength of my life.
The Lord is the strength of my life.
Of whom shall I be afraid?
Of whom shall I be afraid?
I don't fear the devil.
I don't fear the devil.
I don't fear man.
I don't fear man.
I have no fear.
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 The Bible says, fear not.
The Bible says, fear not.
And I fear not.
And I fear not.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm as bold as a lion.
I'm as bold as a lion.
God is for me.
God is for me.
Who can be against me and win?
Who can be against me and win?
Nobody.
Nobody.
It doesn't matter what they say.
It doesn't matter what they say.
It doesn't matter what they do.
It doesn't matter what they do.
They can't win.
They can't win.
I always win.
I always win.
Because God is for me.
Because God is for me.
That's why I don't have to defend myself.
That's why I don't have to defend myself.
I have one that defends me.
I have one that defends me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You get that down on the inside of you, and it's going to become a whole lot easier to live a strife-free life. A life of forgiveness where other people just cannot get on the inside of you.
Amen.
And pull your chain anymore.
Yes.
See? Once that gets on the inside of you, you have one that defends you.
Kill them with kindness.
Kill them with kindness. Ellie says, hallelujah. That's right. That's right. Heat coals upon their head. Amen. I like that one so good, I'm going to do it again. God is for me.
God is for me.
That one thing right there. I wish I could make you swear, but I won't. I could get you to say that for about an hour a day for 5 days. Just that right there. God is for me. God is for me. I can see Annie walking around. God is for me.
Glory.
God is on my side.
Amen.
God is for me. I feel sorry for anyone that would be against me. Because God is for me. Now, see, that's what will start happening. Your mind will start working that way. And you'll say, I better start praying for them. If they're against me, they don't know who's defending me. See, that's what gets you to start praying for them. Oh, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
He also says, don't touch my anointed.
That's right. See? That's right. Hallelujah. Don't touch my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. But you just go around just that one thing right there. God is for me. Until the revelation of that sinks down on the inside of you, and you almost laugh at trouble. Now nobody, Paul says, I joy. I take pleasure in my infirmities now. I take pleasure in those things. He knew who his source was. He knew who his provider was. And he knew who his defender was. My God. Gerald told me, he says, just call me, we'll get you out of whatever jail they put you in. Well, now think about it. Paul got put in a jail in Philippi, didn't he? What did he do to call on God? How do you call on God when you're in trouble? You praise Him at midnight. At the darkest hour, they lifted their voices and started singing hymns to God loud enough where the other... And it wasn't that little... On the blood of you. No, they did it loud. And it says the other prisoners in the other cells heard them. They were going... There is no God like our God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. You are my God. You're singing and praising God. Now, Gerald said he'd get me out of jail. He was going to pay the bail. You know how God does it? He sends an earthquake. He'll get them all out of jail. Hallelujah. He can be trusted. Hallelujah. And I need a drink of water. Now, if you think Gerald... And I see that... I trusted Gerald to get me out of jail, but I knew he couldn't send earthquakes. Well, how much more if your Heavenly Father says, I'll get you out of jail, and I can send an earthquake, you know? And if that doesn't work, I could just get all of them saved, and he just come unlock the doors and let you out. But God's got 1,001 ways of getting you out of jail. Don't ever worry about that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, see?
Nebuchadnezzar said, I see the curtain.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Daniel. Uh-huh.
Says, I'll see the fourth man.
I'll see the fourth man?
He was the fourth man.
Oh, I see the fourth man. Yes, I see a fourth man. He was with them. See, now we're talking about jail. The three Hebrew children, they got put in a fiery furnace. And did Jesus forsake them?
No.
What did he do? He went right in there with them. And his anointing, again, remember his anointing? His anointing kept them not only safe, but when they come out, they didn't even smell like smoke.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. If you go around and get it in your mouth, God loves me, four words can change your whole life here. God is for me. Boy, if the revelation of that ever gets down on the inside of you, if that ever explodes in your spirit, the devil's going to have some really bad days. You're going to get him so much trouble because you become fearless.
Yes,
you become fearless.
the three Hebrew children. You can turn that big oven up seven times hotter. It doesn't matter what you do, our God shall deliver us. It doesn't matter. We're not going to bow down to your graven image. Now today you would say, I'm not going to bow down to the politics. I'm not going to bow down to peer pressure. I'm not going to bow down and serve money all my life. I'm going to serve the living God, and I'm going to pray and worship Him. And whatever He says to me, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Because, well, how can you do it? Because I know Him. And I know that my God is for me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. If the devil sends a fiery trial, He'll be right there with me in it. Yes, ma'am. Done gone to preaching now.
When you read it and it says, they love not their life unto death, get that revelation of Jesus Christ in you, and they ain't going to do nothing.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. God is for me. Okay, here we go again. God is for me.
God is for me.
Who can be against me and win?
Who can be against me and win?
Nobody.
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 I said nobody.
I always win.
God has already given me His best.
He gave me Jesus.
He will also give me
everything else that I need.
I do not fear lack.
I have abundance.
I have come to Jesus.
He
will never cast me out.
He will never leave me.
He will never forsake me.
I have complete confidence in Him.
Jesus is my provider.
I never worry about anything.
I never worry about having enough.
I always have plenty.
I believe.
I
do believe.
That Christ lives in me.
I am rooted and grounded in love.
I understand and possess.
The love of Christ. I know for myself. That the Anointed One loves me. I am full of the love of God. God lives in me. Well, if you believe it, praise Him for it. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. I give you praise and glory and honor. Praise your holy name, Jesus. We praise your holy name, Jesus. We praise your holy name, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Now, see, here's the thing about God again. He's up there in heaven right now, and He's watching our Bible study, and He's looking around to the left, and He's looking around to the right. And just like always, He says, sure enough, there's no other gods up here. I'm the only true and living God. I created you in the first place to be the recipient of my love. I have sent my Son to buy you back so that I can lavish my love on you. Boy, okay, I don't have that written. Say this after me. I was created to be loved by God. He bought me back. With the blood of the Lamb. So that He could lavish.
Pour on.
His love.
For me.
He loves me.
Not based on my performance.
But just because.
He loves me.
My God is love.
I love His Son.
I love you, Jesus.
Thank you.
For loving me enough.
To die for me.
My life belongs to you, Jesus.
I love you.
I trust you.
I'll serve you.
All the days of my life. But right now,
I'm going to stand here.
And receive your love for me.
I believe.
That you love me, Lord.
I believe, Father.
I believe, Father,
that you love me.
That you love me.
I was created.
I was created.
To be the object of your love.
To be the object of your love.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I let you love me.
I let you love me.
Oh, hallelujah. You know, most people won't let God love us. They listen to the enemy tell them he doesn't love you. And the whole Bible speaks the opposite. Everything from Genesis to Map says God is saying, holding out his arms to us, even when we were sinners and lost, even when we were sinners, it says Christ died for the ungodly. I sure qualified. How about you? I sure qualified. How about you? Well, if he loved me then, I got news for your head. He loves me now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he doesn't really love me any more now than he did then. He is love. He is love. Just, how do I do it, Lord? How do I get him to see that? The only thing really you can do is just stand and receive his love. Let's do it just for a minute. Say, Father.
Father.
I just received.
I just received.
Your love.
Your love.
I'm making you a promise tonight.
I'm making you a promise tonight.
Since you created me.
Since you created me.
To lavish your love on me.
To lavish your love on me.
I promise you.
I promise you.
I'm going to let you love me more.
I'm going to let you love me more.
I open myself up to you.
I open myself up to you.
To receive more of your love.
To receive more of your love.
To receive the abundance of your grace.
To receive the abundance of your grace.
Pour it on me, Father.
Pour it on me, Father.
I receive it.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.